can I just talk now, Sheila? Hi, my name's Nancy. I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to thank you for inviting me to share. It's always a privilege, right? It's to be asked and to be heard and to hopefully say something that'll help someone stay sober. And if it doesn't, then they always say it helps me, right? I don't find it easy to talk about myself, and I've done this a few times, and I still don't find it that easy because it's not natural for me to speak openly and honestly about who I am and what I did and what I think and how I feel, you know? It's something that I didn't do before I came into AA, and that's one of the mighty reasons why I drank. I'm most grateful to AA and for the help I've gotten in the 3 years I've been here. So I've been in for 3 years, and what I'll do is like what we normally do is talk a bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'm going to make sure I leave time for what it's like now, because that's the important thing, you know. And that's what I really like, because it's good now, and I'd like to talk about it. And it's good now. I have two younger brothers. My parents are alive. I was born in Shawinigan in Quebec, just a little bit up further north. My parents are simple people from the Maritimes. My dad was a school teacher, and he came over during the boom years to teach English to French people, actually, when the hydro business was happening up there. And my mom, for the most part, worked at home, but she did a few other things too. I mean, stayed at home. And I have a lot of respect for my parents now, but my big part of my story is that I didn't for the longest time. And in fact, when I left home at 17, I did so with their blessing, because it was a mutual agreement. They gave me $400 to get started, and I was asked to leave, and I wanted to go, and that's because I never fit into this good family, and I still have trouble fitting in, to be honest with them today, but I'm trying my best. And they're really open and always loved me and are open to receive me, you know. It's just me going towards them because they're strangers, you know, or they were strangers 3 years ago, that's for sure. I had two younger brothers, and they drink. They don't drink alcoholically, I don't believe, and my parents don't either. And I'm the alcoholic in my immediate family, and I'm the one that's different. And what happened is that I knew myself to be different at a young age, at 13, and I started acting out then. And I guess that's when I had my first drink. But I didn't really start drinking until I had money. And I got that money either by stealing it or by doing odd jobs. And I left the home at 17 after high school. I had a hard time finishing high school. And I'm bright enough, you know. It's just that it didn't interest me, like a lot of things, you know. I had decided what direction I was going in. And I'm 45 now, and I don't mind it. I don't lie about my age, you know. It's I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be sober. I feel so good, you know. And we all know that, you know, it's an inside job, eh? It doesn't matter how old you are, and I certainly didn't learn anything until I came in here, so I came in my early 40s, right? I was a person that didn't feel things, and that allowed me to do things and put myself at risk a lot, and that's what I like to do, because that's what made me feel alive, because I didn't feel, you know? And alcohol helped me to do that, and because what it did for me, I hear a lot, you know, I've been around for a while, I go to a lot of meetings, I talk to a lot of people, and because you're my people, you know, you're people that I like, and I get along with and feel safe with, and what it did for a lot of people, it seems that it made people more sociable, right? But alcohol for me actually brought me more into myself, because right from the start, it was all about me shutting down the sort of inner turmoil business that was happening inside me, eh? It wasn't about me talking to you or trying to appear clever to you. I wasn't out to impress you that much. What I did is I drank really quickly, really fast. I had blackouts right from the start. And what I did was just want to shut down. So that meant that in my 20s, when I was more sociable and would go out, like when I was going to school and stuff, I would be at a table like this, right? And I'd be in a bar listening to music, and everyone would be having fun, and, you know, you get, you know, the four drinks happening, and people are loosening up and feeling good. And it was about that fourth drink that I started to feel good, too. But, you know, I would keep on drinking because I liked it, and, you know, I would drink my eight drinks, and then I would be sitting there, and I would still be drinking, but you no longer existed. And I would be there the whole night, and I didn't hear you or see you or care about you. It was all about me, and me getting myself to a place where I felt good. And alcohol did that for me. I did a lot of traveling in my life. At 17, when I left the home there, I came into Montreal, got a job, saved some money, and went hitchhiking around the States by myself for 8 months. And I don't say that so you go, wow, isn't she courageous, isn't she outrageous? At the time, I probably wanted you to say that, but now I don't. It's something that I had to do, because I really felt that the stable kind of life my parents led and that I was raised in, that kind of world, it didn't suit me, and I didn't feel like I was living, you know. I felt like I was in kind of some kind of, I felt trapped. And so this idea of like hitting the road, hitting the highway, and having a series of adventures, and then possibly writing about them, really appealed to me. So what I was going to do is I was going to live, I was going to see, I was going to learn, I was going to experience, and then I was going to write about them and develop a small cult following that would support me. Yeah. See, those are very, you know, I didn't want a big following, because that wouldn't be cool. You know, a small one with people in the know, you know, that would recognize me for being cool, and then I wouldn't have to do talk shows, but I'd be cooler. And that never happened, because I didn't write, because I drank instead, you know. And I would try to write. I would try to write all the time, but I drank all the time, too. So, there was just no contest. It's the days before computers, you know. I do know how to use a computer, and I recognize that you have a listserv here, and I know what that is. But I don't. At the time, we didn't use computers. We wrote things, and what would happen is that I'd be at the table, right, and I would be at the table, and my bottle of vodka would be there. And I would start to write, and then as it went down, the nonsense just happened, and I shut the book, and then I would sit there and stare into space and do interesting things, like hold up my hands and watch my fingers close as they swelled up. And I have big hands, but it took exactly about five drinks before these were all filled, like when the fingers were touching, because even like early on, my body stopped. I drank a lot, and it stopped processing and breaking down the alcohol properly. I've lived all over the world, and I did that. I did that because I wanted to do that, and I did it with people or by myself. But I kept moving, and what I did is the geographical cure, but I did it for 20 years, and it got harder and harder as I got older and older, and people around me, there weren't that many people around me, because when you move, there's not people around me, because I didn't take people with me, you know. What I took was my alcoholism, and I took all these series of character defects, which I believe brought me down. What happened to me is how I see it, and we all see it different and understand our disease differently, is that I had these defects like selfishness, dishonesty, and ego, like egomaniac, like false pride. And I had these before I ever picked up a drink. And what the alcohol did is lock them in. They just locked them in, and they grew, and they festered like a wound, you know. And they brought me down. That's what broke me. And that's what brought me in here, you know. I would have kept drinking forever. I just loved it. I didn't. love it in the sense that it made me feel good, but I loved it because it was my friend. And I can break my drinking down to in two phases here. So let's say I start, I'm not sure, like, I have points in my life I can't remember. I have, I don't know, that doesn't sound surprising, I'm sure we all do, right? But there's like 6 months in 1983, I don't know where I was. And there's different, of course, evenings, blackouts, that's different, you know, but there's big chunks of time that I don't know and I can't remember and I think it's lost, and that's okay, you know? I from 20 to 30, I was more, how can I say? I was living in different places. I was more able to easily just what I would do is I'd build up an escape fund. So that meant me going to a new city with enough money to get an apartment, get a phone, which would allow me to get a job. And then once I got the job, I would work for the train, plane, bus ticket that would and enough money that would allow me to do that again in the next city. And it works out if I look at it and I can track some of my life down by letters I've written or whatever. It works out that I moved about every 2 years, and that's a lot of futons, you know. That's a lot of situations to land in and try to cope when you're an alcoholic, you know. It's what I was able to do, though, and it's kind of what I liked, because I was such a phony that the faces I presented to the world were all different, and I was good at it, eh? Like, I'm a bold-faced liar at that time, and I can lie to you, and I liked it, because what I didn't like is the routine stuff. Like, I remember when I started hitchhiking, and I'd get in the car, you know, and they'd say, "Where are you from?" I'd go, "Montreal." They go, "Where you come from? You, what do your family do? What's your food? You know, you whatever." And it was boring. You know, I didn't like repeating it, you know, three times a day as I got in the car. So what I'd do is I'd make up stories, right? Because I'm a writer, right? And I can do that. So that's what happened, and that's how I live. So I would present myself in a new city, in a new work environment, and I would be an orphan. Or the next time I would be a divorcee. With and one time I was had been married four times, and I and I've never married, and I don't have any kids, but I would do this, and then the challenge was to maintain the lie, right? Like when and this is how sick I am, right? And you know, I would stay for about 1 or 2 years in this place, and I'd have to maintain the lie, and there was a lot of work that went around that, and there was a lot of work also that went around hiding my alcoholism. I drank every day for 20 years. And I drank in the evenings after work until I passed out. And I know the difference between a pass out and a blackout. And most of the time I just passed out. And I'd wake up in my bed, you know, and I wouldn't have... But that's not a blackout. I know what a blackout is. It's, this is how I lived. And I thought I was managing because I was still able to keep moving and keep traveling and have these adventures. I've lived a life, I think, sometimes from the outside that looks kind of exciting, you know? But inside, it was the same thing. And that's what they tell us, eh? Because we bring ourselves with us wherever we go. And I think that's the lesson here. I did this from like 20 to 30 with, as I say, relative ease. I was angry. I had a lot of more anger that was expressed outwards, meaning I got in fights sometimes, meaning I was more in the bars, meaning that I got in actually more trouble at that point. And then what happened is that when you're out there and you're moving around and I'm trying to keep on top of everything, I'm trying to keep a job happening, I'm trying to drink as much as I need to drink to feel good, I'm trying to just balance all that. And that's all I'm doing. I'm only working and drinking, eh? That's what my life consists of. I don't have long-term relationships. I don't have kids. I don't have any contact with the family here in Montreal because that's what I do. I don't want to have it, so I don't have it. And I'm there. And what happens is that I get in this space where I just can't tolerate myself anymore, and I go out, and I go out drunk. And what happens when you go out drunk? You get into trouble, right? And because I'm I'm young, I'm strong, I'm more apt to hurt someone else at that point than hurt myself. And I used to get in fights. I used to hurt people, and I'm not proud of it, you know. I 30 to 40, that anger turned inward. There's something, a little piece, there's a part of me, there's a change. There was some sort of change inside, but I couldn't maintain it. I couldn't keep the energy level up. And I stopped moving. So I didn't stop moving cities, but I stopped going out. I stopped being so aggressive. I stopped getting in people's faces because I really believed that those fights I would not win anymore because I just didn't. I couldn't pick myself up to do it. So I stayed home a lot, and I drank a lot more because I stayed home a lot. And the jobs that I was getting weren't quite as good anymore, you know. And staying and drinking at home is cheaper, you know. And I liked it. I liked it. And I knew what was happening to me. There's not a lot about me. I didn't have a lot of self-awareness, but I knew that I had become an alcoholic. I knew I was an alcoholic. And I just didn't know what to do about it. I had surrendered to my alcoholism the way I later surrendered to my higher power. And I lived like that, you know, for at least 10 years. And I drank in the mornings for at least 10 years. I had a situation where I was in, life is good now, eh? It's really good. And I have to remember not to, see, I'm a person that really, we all have our ways of staying sober. We use AA, we use the 12 steps, right? But what I like to do is remember my bottom, and I keep it close, and it's right here. And, you know, I'm one of these people where when people go out and they come back, I've heard people say, well, what was it like? I need to know. I need to know so that I don't go out. And my bottom's right here. I don't need to take your experience to know what it'll be like when I go back out, if I go back out, you know? I don't need to take your pain. I don't need to take your failure to stay sober. What I need to do is always remember that my where I come from, and that's what I'm talking about here, is that I was in a very dark spot before I got sober, and I was working. I had come back. I had met someone in Vancouver, a Frenchman, and I went to live with him in France. And for the first time in my life, I couldn't get my money together to go. I needed to use somebody else, right? So my life isn't manageable because I'm not doing that anymore, right? And he knows I drink. He knows I drink. He's a hash smoker. He didn't care, but he didn't know how much. And so I get there. I'm set up in this little cute medieval town in France there, and it's quite something, eh? And I'm going crazy, right? It doesn't matter where I am. I'm just going crazy. I'm going crazy. And after a year, I have this point where my mom has never been to Europe, and I haven't really been in touch with her. But I had phoned her from France to tell her I was in France, right? And word gets back to me through one of my brothers that she'd really like to come, eh? She's never been to Europe, and there I have a little apartment. It's a beautiful little town. We can go to Paris. We can do this and that. She gets her visa to come, you know, she gets her passport. And what happened is that I knew that it couldn't happen, that she couldn't see me like that, but I couldn't be normal enough to receive her. So I canceled it, I bailed, I got out of France and came back to Montreal. And the reason I'm talking about that, I mean, there's a lot of disappointments. I've done a lot of harm for people, but this one is fairly recent. It's come to my attention because I was visiting my parents, which I do now on a regular basis because I want to love them and I want to be a part of their lives. I'm in this room and there's a suitcase and it's this bright red suitcase that's never been used. And that's the suitcase that she had bought to come. And that's the suitcase that she never got to use, huh? And I said, what's that? Where's that? Because they had these old creaky ones, you know? And she goes, oh. And she didn't want to tell me because she knew I would be hurt And that made me feel bad, you know. That's a missed opportunity for her. And it's a shame. It's just a shame. And but I was not capable of feeling much like that. I come back because I have to get out, and I come back because I know Montreal, and I come back, in fact, I came back, I thought it was the end, that I wanted to save my parents the expense of having to go fetch my body after I die, you know? So that sounds like I'm not a drama queen, I don't think, you know? That was my thinking. Because I was drinking a lot, and I wasn't able to do very much. I was experiencing a deterioration in my brain. I couldn't remember much. I couldn't talk to people. Like if you were talking to me, I would have to repeat it in my head what you had said that first sentence. You would go on to your second sentence, and I would have to try to hold on to that. You'd go on to your third sentence, and I would be lost. I couldn't. And then I'd be there pretending to understand, but I couldn't understand. And I was hearing things, I was seeing things, and I was in great, great pain. And I didn't know what to do, and I just kept drinking. Because I didn't know about AA. I didn't know anything about it. My parents weren't alcoholics. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know that there was a way for me to stop. And I was not capable, I don't think, of... I never asked that, Nancy, you're in trouble, you need help. And you can ask, I'm not a shrink, I don't know why, but I think I just never asked that question. It's a lot of denial, obviously, but it's also a feeling that I'd gone too far already. And I kind of had accepted it, and that's where I was at. I have a lot of good stuff to say. I've been away on a retreat over the weekend, a women's retreat that I go to every 3 months. It's a reward for staying sober, eh? And what it is a it's a place where I get to be with women with really really strong sobriety, eh? And I learn a lot, and I it was there rather than in rehab. I know we all get better in our own way, right? It was there that that I started to open up and feel safe and start to talk. But I'll just take you back because it all came together sort of at one point. We all have our bottom, and we all hope and pray to our higher power that it is our last bottom. What happened to me is that I had this bottom. And I'll just tell you, I had what I call a visit, because what happens is that I had lost, as I said, my ability to help myself. And I remember quite distinctly 2 days before the visit, I was howling. I was no longer communicating by talking. I was howling like wolves and animals. I was an animal. I was an animal in pain, and so I would howl. And my neighbors didn't like it. But that's where I was at, in this one-room apartment, howling, right? And I'm on St. Joseph Street there, howling, yeah. You know, things happen behind closed windows, eh? People don't know what's happening, but there's a girl there howling. And that's what I did, and that was my cry for help, and I got it. And what I did is I had this visit, and I felt peace, and I was in, and I knew... And I felt peace for the first time in a long time, and for the first time that I can remember. And the next morning I got up and I called AA, and that wasn't in my thinking, that wasn't in my consciousness. I just didn't, I didn't have AA in my head at all. I hadn't even really heard about it, you know. And what happens, because I'm special, when I came into AA, I didn't stop drinking, but. I kept picking up my chips, eh? Because I'm not honest, and I never knew how to be honest, I don't think. I think maybe at one point I might have been honest, but I lost that. And when you lead a kind of willful life like I led, what happens is that you lose your sense of shame, eh? And that allows you to lie easier. But that's that little voice that we at the women retreat call our little voice. But it's called a conscience, really, eh? And I lost it, you know. It's but that little voice or inner voice or whatever also guides us, right? And it's hooked in with our intuition. It keeps us safe. And I had lost that. But along with that, I had lost my sense of shame. So I had to come into AA and sit in the rooms for 5 months before I decided it might be a good idea to pick up a new beginner's trip and to tell the truth. But I learned how to be honest in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I sat with people who were honest, and as I sat there, I was going to meetings every day. I wasn't drinking as much, eh? I mean, I wasn't drinking. I wasn't drunk when I came in, and I was getting some clarity. And I believe my higher power brought me into the rooms, didn't bring me to a church, didn't bring me to emergency, brought me into AA, and put me in a place where I could get better just by using the tools, by doing what everyone else is doing, right? Like, I was brought to a place where I could learn what I needed to do to live properly, because I didn't know how to live. That was my problem. I didn't know. I didn't have the rules. Now I have a plan. I have those steps, those 12 steps, and I use them. I use them to live. So I was brought here, I believe, to get better, and then ultimately to help others get better, right? That's what we do here, and that's that brings us like up to the present day, kind of. What happened is that I'm gonna drink, right? I need a drink. It's yeah. So 5 months in, I'm at a crossroad, and I say, okay, I'm going to get honest or I'm going to lose it. I'm going to go back out. If I go back out, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was so fearful of being honest. And my someone said, well, maybe, Nancy, you were afraid of being kicked out and rejected. And that's not true. It was my pride, right? Because I was being patted on the back for staying sober. Like, Nancy, you got 2 months. You got 1 month, 3 months, 3 months, you know? And that was like stroking my ego. But really, it wasn't that I was fearful. I mean, I knew people went out and came back. It's not. It's just that I had my ego still, and I had to lose it. I had to drop it. And I had to pray for 3 weeks before I had enough courage to tell the truth. And I prayed every day. And I had prayed before, like everyone else, when you get into jackpots, right? But this time I prayed without getting results. I kept on praying, right? I wasn't getting any results, but I kept on praying. And I stuck with it. And then one morning, I knew I could do it, and I went to 5 o'clock shadows, and that was my home group at the time, and I picked up my chip, and I started again. And now, like it just started, like, my recovery started then, right? It hasn't been, like, speedy. I every time I see people that I know, they say that I'm doing well. They see progress, right? But in my mind, I'm an alcoholic. I want things done quicker, but I am... I am well. I am healthy. I know how to be a friend. I know how to keep a job. I mean, it's unspectacular things like being predictable, responsible, reliable. Like that. I mean, that's boring, right? I mean, that I didn't do that, you know, and I didn't want to do it. I'm sure I could have, but I got a job early on in sobriety, a job that I was that was quite something, and I was able to fake it till I make it, because I didn't have the brain power to actually do that job or the emotional stability to get along with people in that job, and I kept coming to AA, and I was listening, and that's all I had to do was get up, do my job, and then go to meetings. Right? I'm lucky. I don't have two kids. I'm not a single mom. I'm not, or a father, sorry, you know, like I know single fathers are certainly, and it's, I'm in a privileged position even today where, that's what I can do. I can do my job at work, and then do my meetings, and that's a blessing, you know, it really is. I feel now, I mean, it took 2 years for me to feel that I was starting to give back to AA. And people always told me, no, Nancy, you gave back just by being in that chair, you know, and I believe that's true. And I would say that to a newcomer, and I would believe it to be true. But for me, I guess sometimes we're harder on ourselves, right? And giving back meant starting to do more service, and And I do service, and I'm like a friend of mine. You don't stand up here and tell people. I stand up here and say service will keep you sober, but I'm not going to give you the list of things I do. I think that's like, I don't like it. I can't do it, but it's not that great. It's no more than other people do, right? I have people in my life that I love and I care for, and I'm being brought back to my family there. I'm being a good daughter. I'm being the daughter they deserve. Like, I'm not running away anymore, and I am really happy, joyous, and free. That's what I really am. That was our theme for the weekend, and that's what I am. And, like, I'm not smiling right now, but that's how I feel, you know? And that's a miracle, you know, because I didn't feel that way, like, ever. I feel the best today that I've ever felt in my life, and that's because I'm an alcoholic who was shown how to live, you know? So I am a grateful alcoholic, I knew I was an alcoholic before, but I just didn't know there was an answer, and now I do. And now what we do here is we stop talking and sit down. I think that's what we do. I'd like to thank you for having me. It's good. I'm sorry. I got a joke that always works. So I'm going to say it. It's like I talk like I walk, right? And it's like this, right? And that's what we. That's okay, because you're all alcoholics and you understand, because you do this too, right? Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Nancy, but it's